Please turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19 to 23. The theme of this series here in the Sunset Gospel Hour is knowing your gains and your losses. And this is something in which the world is very interested in. Everybody wants to gain. Nobody wants to make a loss. But sadly, when we talk about the people in the world, they are very much engaged only in terms of material gain. They are very concerned about money, about the economy, about material possessions. And their thinking is, oh, if I own a lot of these things, I will have more power over my life. I can do what I want. And therefore, all things will be better for me. And so they will go to all kinds of causes, trying to discover various ways of how to gain materially. But when we deal with the topic on how to gain more today, we are not talking about this kind of gain. And it's important that we understand this before we even look at the text. Because if you are thinking that you are coming here in order to discover some secret whereby you can get rich materially, then today's message will disappoint you. But what we are concerned about is a far greater gain. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while He was upon the earth, He asked this very pertinent question. If you gain the whole world, and if you lose your soul, then what is the point? What is the point? And sadly, this is something which the world cannot see. But we pray that it is something in which you can see. By the Spirit, we pray that you can see that what is important would be things pertaining to your soul, things pertaining to eternity, things pertaining to the spiritual. And so we want to know how to gain in terms of all these things. And that is exactly what we are going to learn today from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. In fact, what did the Apostle Paul mean when he says down here, I might gain the more? What do we mean by gain? Now, if you look at the verses before, you will notice that in verses 17 to 18, the Apostle Paul was talking about the work of the gospel, the ministry, the stewardship of the gospel, which was committed unto him. And so therefore, when the Apostle Paul says, I might gain the more, right? He is talking about how he may advance in the work of the gospel, how he may progress in the thing which God has asked him to do. That to him is gain. And I hope that to you is also gain. That for you, what is gain is that you would progress, that you would do well, that you would succeed in the things which God has asked you to do while you journey here on this earth. That will begin. That your mind is focused on things eternal, things that will last, and not things that will perish. And if you, therefore, are here wanting to be like the Apostle Paul, yes, I want to advance in these things, then hear what the Apostle Paul has to say down here in verse 19. First thing we have to take note, if we indeed want to gain more, then what we must have is a servant's heart. The principle, right? The golden principle, right? To gain more is a servant's heart, a humble heart. And this we read in verse 19, where the Apostle Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant or slave unto all, that I might gain the more." A slave is a very humble position in society. This is something in which we may not be so used to here in Singapore. But in the days of Paul, it was very common, right, to have slaves. There would be those who were slaves, and there would be those who were known as free men, right? Free men. And those who were slaves, they would think of all kinds of ways, right, to break out of their social strata. They would dream, oh, when can I be free? And so they would try, you know, their very best to, if their master allows it, to learn new skills so that one day they may be able to break free from having to take any instructions from anyone, from being subjected to anyone in order to be their own person. I am free to do the things that I want to do. Well, very much with how society is like today, right? Everybody wants to be free to do the things that they want to do. And they say that the way to do it is what? Oh, get more money, get more power, get more authority. And that is gain. That is gain. And so they will strive for all these things. But the Apostle Paul here is very different. Right? The Apostle Paul says here, yes, I am a free man. And indeed, the Apostle Paul was a free man in the sense that he was a free man in society. He was not among the slaves, but more than just that, he has also this freedom, also this liberty, Christian liberty in Christ. But what is this Christian liberty, like Christian freedom in Christ, to be used for? That is the key down here. The Apostle Paul says, yes, I may have this Christian freedom, but this Christian freedom is meant to be used to advance in the work which the Lord has asked me to do. And that is gain. And for that to happen, I must be willing, firstly, to submit to God. And also, I must be willing to submit to all men in order to serve them. I am obligated to serve them. I am indebted to serve them. With regards to what? Well, with regards to preaching the gospel to them, and also with regards to declaring to them the whole counsel of God. To preach the gospel to sinners so that they may be converted. And to those who have not, and for those who have believed in Christ, to continue also to proclaim the gospel to proclaim the whole counsel of God so that they may also live according to the gospel. And that is the commitment I have to them. I am obligated to do this for them. Because that is what Christ has committed to do. That is the dispensation of the gospel that has been committed to me. And so I must be willing, firstly, to submit to God's will to me. And then I must also, therefore, be willing also to do all things necessary so that men may know Christ and the good news. To serve humbly as a servant, to subject myself to them and to do whatever is necessary for the profit of their souls. And so, oftentimes people say, how may one know theology? And they will quote like Calvin's rules concerning this. And what is Calvin's rule? Or three rules concerning knowing theology? Well, first rule is humility. Second rule is humility. Third rule is humility. Now, if you want to gain more, what then also is the golden principle? It is the same. Humility, humility, humility. Humility before God, humility also before men. That whatsoever is necessary to do good unto those who are around us, whatsoever is necessary to point them to the truth, to point them to the Christ, that we must be willing to do. Even if it means it brings us out of our comfort zone, even if it means that we are asked to give up certain things, well, we must be willing to do it. For what are these things that we are called to sacrifice compared to the great sacrifice of Christ at Calvary? He who has given our all, surely we must also surrender our all to Him. And so in humility we serve Christ, in humility we also serve men with the heart of a servant, with the heart, right? In fact, here the word servant here is the heart of a slave, fully obligated to give them the truth, fully obligated to give them the gospel. Right? That is the goal. That is the aim. And that must be the kind of spirit, the kind of disposition, the kind of heart that we must have. And so here, we have this principle that is laid out to us, this golden principle. Humility, humility, humility. If you think, therefore, yourself to be somebody, then you will not succeed in gaining more for Christ. Why? Right? Because you are only pointing people to self. Remember in those days, right, there were many that attacked the Apostle Paul. Even within the Corinthian church, there were false teachers who seek to displace him, try to put him down, and then try to point others to themselves. When they do so, will they have gain? Oh yes, they will have gain, but it's not the kind of gain which the Apostle Paul is talking about down here. Their kind of reward will be, well, the recognition, the admiration of unspiritual men. But that is not what the Apostle Paul is seeking down here. The Apostle Paul is seeking for the pleasure and the favor of God, right? He's seeking to glorify God, and that to him is gain. So therefore, if you want to glorify God, first and foremost, we need to check our hearts. What kind of heart do we have? When we serve, is it because of self? Or is it because of the Lord? Well, make sure, right, that Christ must increase and we must decrease. And therefore, when you serve among fellow men, you will also be very well aware of your place before Christ. And you will want to point them to Christ. And you will do whatsoever is necessary for them to be able to see the beauty of Christ. And so therefore, why do you serve? With what motive do you serve? What is the spirit in which you serve in? And that is important. You must have a servant's heart which is constrained by the love of Christ as you serve. A humble spirit. You know, this thing that is written down here is something which the world cannot understand, right? The whole world wants to break forth from being a slave to be free. Here you have a man says, well, I'm free, but I'd rather be a slave so that I can gain. But people think gain is, well, breaking free of slavery, then become free, or that is gain. Here, well, you want to gain, you are free, but you use your liberty in the right way, you become a slave so that you can gain. So first and foremost, we must understand this. We must get this principle right and in the heart. And when we have this principle in our hearts, rightly, and then the next, right, comes the application. So the first one is the principle. What is the principle? A servant's heart. Then you have the application. What is the application? Well, the application is this accommodating of souls. I take note the word used here is accommodating. Accommodation, not compromise. Right? Not compromise. Please understand this, because there are those who look at this passage and then they say, oh, you know, the Apostle Paul to the Jews, he became a Jew. And then to those who are without the law, he become as without the law. And then to the weak, he become as the weak. And so therefore, let me employ situational ethics in order to entice my people to believe in the gospel. And so they do things that are contrary to God's word. Right? They employ worldly methods in order to do it. No, this is not what Paul is saying down here. And I think if you study the tenor of the scriptures, right, it should be clear, right, that the Apostle Paul, with regards to ministering the gospel, right, denounces all things that are sinful, denounces all things that are wicked, denounces all kinds of corruption and anything that is hypocritical. Right? So please understand this, right? Paul is not trying to say down here, employ pretense, employ hypocrisy in order to win people over. Please don't come to that kind of conclusion, right, from the verses down here. But what the Apostle Paul is trying to say down here, right, in verse 20 to 22 is this. Is that since this is what the Lord has called me to do, as a slave to him as well as to fellow men, then whatsoever is necessary to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God with regards to the gospel, that I will do. And whatsoever hinders people to come to the gospel, that I will not do. That I will not do. And so here in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, and unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I may gain the Jews, right? So that I may, you know, exercise this dispensation of the gospel unto the Jews, right? That's what he's trying to say down here. Right? To them, they are under the law. Right? The Jews, they were given the word of God, the oracles of God, that I may gain them, they are under the law. Right? And then in verse 21, he says, to them that are without law, as without law, right? Here meaning those who are outside of the law, right? The Gentiles, right? They were the ones who who were originally not given, right, the oracles. Well, the Apostle Paul also have to minister to them. And as he lived among them, right, he lived, right, just like one of them, right, following the same life in which they live, right, to the Jews, right, he lived as how the Jews would live, right, among the Gentiles, he believed like how the Gentiles would live. And he was therefore also very careful to say, now, even though he said to live as how the Gentiles would live, it does not mean compromise. Why? Because here the Apostle Paul says, but not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Still following the precepts and the statutes of God. So what it means is this. If he is called to minister in a particular society, and the society has certain practices, certain norms, right, which is not contrary to the word of God, and if it is required of the Lord that he has to subject himself to these things in order to reach out, right, to these people with the word of truth, right, that he will do. Whether be it in a Jewish society or whether be it in a Gentile society. And you can see various examples of this in the life of Paul, or also in the life of his associates. For example, right, there is Timothy, and now you know Timothy. Timothy, he has both Jewish, Hebrew blood as well as Gentile blood in him. Now, when he wanted to minister among the Jews, some were questioning, wow, why is Timothy not circumcised? And indeed, it can be a question that may hinder the progress of the gospel, because you know that for one that is called a Jew, it was required, right, in the Old Testament law that they must be circumcised, right, on the eighth day. And so Timothy was not circumcised. And so therefore, how to begin ministering to the Jews if they knew about this? And so the Apostle Paul, right, asked him, well, you go and be circumcised. So now, whether be it among the Jews, whether be it among the Gentiles, right, there will be no hindrance. But then when he came to Titus, and then a demand was laid, Titus, you must be circumcised. That one you cannot do. Because once Titus would do it, it would mean what? Well, it would mean, because those that were asking Titus to do it, right, they were, the Judaizers were trying to say, in order to, for one to be saved, it must be Christ plus works. And so circumcision is necessary. No circumcision, no salvation. So, okay, Titus, please circumcise. That cannot do. No compromise with regards to this. Then you realize also for the Apostle Paul, right, there was a time whereby there was this accusation that whatsoever he preached, the gospel that he preached, is against the law of God. And so what did he do? Well, when he went among the Jews, right, He fulfill whatsoever ceremonies that he need to fulfill. Now, this is not to say he fulfill those ceremonies as though that right, if he fulfill it, then he can have salvation. No, he's not fulfilling it in that way, but he was just fulfilling it. Why? Right? Because he was a Jew fulfilling it. And then also, right, when he was called to pay for some of the sacrifices he did. And this was to prove a point that whatsoever I preach, right, it's not against the law of God. Like, in fact, it is consistent with the law of God. I am not against the law of God. And so he did it. And so this is the principle down here. And perhaps the best illustration and best example you can have that encapsulates what you see here in verse 20 and 21 would be the very example of Hudson Taylor. But what did Hudson Taylor do? Well, when Hudson Taylor ministered in China, right, initially, he went about and without much success. And then later, he realized, oh no, perhaps the best thing to do is, well, I must live as the way the Chinese lived. And so he, well, gave up all his usual dressing. You know, those from the West, they have their usual way of dressing. He began to dress like a Chinese. He even began to spot a pigtail. And then he dedicated himself into the learning of the Chinese language. And once he committed himself in that way as a servant to the Chinese, what happened? Well, God used Hudson Taylor to minister the gospel mightily. And there were those, right, who were converted for Christ. So Hudson Taylor is a very good example of this. And so with regards to some of us, you know, when we are given this privilege and opportunity to go abroad, even to visit some mission stations or to encourage them, as we go to these places, right, take note, right, sometimes they may also have their norms. And if you are placed in that particular situation, please be very considerate, please be very sensitive, and do whatsoever is necessary, right, so that you can gain an audience for Christ, right, so that, right, the people can see, right, will be more than willing, right, to listen to you as you preach the truth. Some places you go, you go and sit there, for example, in Africa, when you go and visit some of those places, you may be asked to attend a fellowship meal. And then when you attend the fellowship meal, well, they really give you a lot of food. A huge amount of food. And I mean huge, I really mean huge. A huge amount of food. Maybe ugali and some beans. And sometimes they may even give you, if the host is very generous, they may give you meat, which may be quite expensive for some of them. Well, they may give you some meat, some beef, or some chicken. And then they put it on your plate. And after that, they give you some tea. And the tea is not like the tea that we have. It may be a little white. And then they give it to you. Now, what is the culture of that place? Right? The culture of that place is, in order to be respectful, you are expected to eat up every morsel of food. So you say, I do not like beans. And what is this? What is this tea? We don't drink this in Singapore. We don't drink this in Singapore. No, I will not eat. No, right? It's good and respectful, and in order to win, right, them to Christ, you eat. You eat. And don't be surprised after eating, the person will pass by and then it says, how would you like some more? And before you can say no, the next serving comes into your plate. That's why it's good, you know, if food is given to you on the table, better finish all of it. And so you eat. If you don't eat, well, they may be stumbled and they may not want to hear you anymore. And you do that which is necessary in order to gain them. Gain them for what? Gain them for Christ. So that the work of the gospel can advance. Right. So this will be an application. But not only to this group of people, right? Down here you have the Jews, you have the Gentiles, right? Gentiles here being described as without the law. And Paul says, I want to gain them that are without the law. But Paul also mentioned another group of people down here, right? In verse 22, right? The Apostle Paul says, to the weak became I as weak, that I may gain the weak. What is the Apostle Paul trying to say down here? Well, the weak down here will refer to those who are immature in the faith. Perhaps they have a weak conscience. And so therefore the Apostle Paul is saying, well, as I minister to them, I must be very conscious of this. And as I minister to them, I must be sensitive not to stumble them, but to minister to them patiently, with much care, with much love, with much humility. Right? That's what Paul is trying to say down here. And if you look at 1 Corinthians, you will realize that one of the issues that appeared, right, that was dealt with, right? 1 Corinthians as well as 2 Corinthians, right, would be that of, right, would be that of food, right? Regards to food. And if something you eat will stumble your brother, then you don't eat, right? You don't eat. Right, don't eat, brother. Right, be very considerate with, right? Be considerate to those who are weak in the faith. And so this is something which we should also take note. Right, as we minister to one another, and there may be those, right, who may be weaker in the faith, right? Do what is what is good, what is right, right, in the sight of God, in the right spirit, right, seeking to help them, seeking to lead them to Christ, and do it with that kind of spirit. Like, don't minister to one another with this heart of what, wanting to destroy or to look down at those who are weak. No. Right. In fact, right, when we minister to one another, as we minister, we must always bear in mind that, you know, if there is some things that we can see, there's something that we can understand, and from the Holy Scriptures, it's only by what? It's always only by grace. It's because the Holy Spirit has helped us to be, help us to see, help us to discern. And so when we minister to others, also we do so with, right, that kind of spirit. Right? We admonish with the kind of spirit. We encourage also with the kind of spirit. And we pray that, you know, if the Lord be willing, right, that by this, right, we may be able to win, right, we may be able to gain that brother for Christ, or that person for Christ. That would be, right, the gain that we are seeking. And of course, all things subjected to Christ. No, although we may minister to one another patiently and humbly, right, sometimes, you know, the person may not take it too kindly, and there may be those, even though you minister, in the end, they still want to walk away from Christ. Okay. You still gain, because what? You did what God wanted you to do. Right? That's why down here, you know, God's word says, I do all these things that I might by all means save what? Is it save all? No, by all means save some. You minister? Yes, you minister in this way, humbly. Do whatever it takes so that the gospel can be made clear, can be made known. Do nothing that would stumble others. And the rest, right, you commit it to the Lord. And the Lord will save. And those whom he intends to save. The Lord will restore those whom he intends to restore. And that is gain. Right? That is gain. And what would then be the fruit of it? Right? So you have the principle, right? The principle is what? You have a servant's heart, a humble heart. Humility, humility, humility. Right? Then you have the application of it, right? Whereby there is this accommodation, right, to men. Accommodation to men, right, in order to bring them to Christ, right? Accommodation to men. Take note, not compromise. That must be made clear. But accommodation. And if it means that you would have to give up some of your rights, maybe some of your sleep, the Apostle Paul, right, if you read earlier, right, give up, you know, he says that he has power over them even to take some physical things from them, because as one who ministered God's word, well, this things are also due to him, but he would rather preach the gospel for free, right, without charge, right, so that the gospel work may proceed. Ah. So you have this kind of spirit also in you. Right? Accommodating a fellow man. And then what would be the fruit of it? Well, the fruit of it would be the gospel is advanced, advancement of the gospel. And this is what you see in verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be what? That I might be a fellow partaker, that I may share with you also in the gospel. So Paul is willing to do all these things so that others may know Christ, and that those who know Christ, who know the gospel, may also continue knowing Christ and the gospel, continue to live according to the gospel. Right? That is what Paul is trying to say down here. Like, this I do, right, for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker together with you. This Paul was willing to do, right, to humbly serve among the Corinthian Christians, to even forgo some of his rights, so that what? So that they may truly know the gospel in the fullness, and that the Corinthian church as a whole may also grow, mature, and that the Corinthian Christians may be more and more, right, like Christ Jesus. Right? Less and less, right, following after the world, more and more abiding in the truth. That would be the goal of the Apostle Paul, and that would also be the fruit, right, which he hoped to see. And that, to him, is gain. And that we hope today, right, from the teaching of the scriptures, is also gain to all of you. And so therefore, we come back to the beginning. How may we gain more? How to gain more? Well, firstly, better make sure that we have the right understanding of what is true gain. Right? True gain means what? Right? True gain means doing what counts, right, for eternity. True gain means doing what the Lord has in plan for you to do. What is the Lord's will? That is true gain. And then if this is what is in your heart and for all of us who are Christians, that should be what is in our heart. And indeed, how to gain more? Have a servant's heart. Accommodate to men. And then lastly, what would be the fruit? Well, the fruit would be the advancement of the gospel, the advancement of the truth. And so may the Lord help us to understand all these things from the scripture today. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to understand what are the things that are truly of value in this world. And that, O Lord, which counts for eternity, help us to be committed to these things. And Lord, just like the Apostle Paul, who in his heart wanted to have true gain, so, O Lord, we pray that in this life, we will also understand what is true gain, and we will also gain all the more. And so be with thy people, strengthen each one of us, help us to do that which is right in thy sight, and we look forward to that day whereby one day we, as we stand before thee, that we will hear the words of thee, of thine, saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for we indeed, O Lord, desire to please thee, to uphold thy holy name." And so, Lord, lead us by thy Spirit, bless thy people richly, as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.